It's another one of those situations where I feel I don't really need to stand here and say anything. As Brother Malcolm already said in our opening, or in our second hymn that we've just sung, we've got exhortation there enough for us. And in his opening comments, he's pretty much covered the first half of my talk, so I can be really quick today. Because what I was wanting to look at is, why have we come here today in the first place? What did we expect? What did we want out of it? Kind of what's in it for us? And I was ticking them off as Malcolm was giving his opening prayer and his opening comments, and he's covered well over half of the reasons just there and then. So I'm going to cover them again. I'm going to cover them quite quickly. So why have we come here today? Well, the first one that sprung to my mind was the fact that we've been commanded to come here today. And normally, not exactly normally, but often during the breaking of bread, we read from 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So Jesus has commanded us to come here to remember him in the bread and in the wine. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Starting with verse 24. "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Now, it might have been we've come here because we want to come here. It might be because it's just habit or it's routine. We might have come here because it's a way to outwardly demonstrate our faith, to set an example, to make a declaration that we are a practicing Christian. And I certainly know that on occasions we get asked, why do we go somewhere on a Sunday? And it's a good opening to explain why we're here. Perhaps we've come here to learn more about God from the readings and the exhortations themselves. We have an opportunity to help our brothers and sisters in faith. Or perhaps we've come here to strengthen our own if our faith feels a little weak. Perhaps we've come here to sing praises. And certainly in the hymns that we have good examples of praising our God and our Father. But in some ways, I think we've come here because we want to be saved. We accept that we can't be saved by ourselves, so we come to our Lord and Saviour. In Ephesians we have, "By grace you are saved." So perhaps we've come here expecting something back. Sort of, what's in it for me? And what I'd like to look at now is the rewards that Jesus, that God has promised to those who are faithful. And rather than give you my words, what I'd like to do really is take some quite extensive readings. Normally when I give exhortations, I tend to pick the odd verse here and there. But this time, And I'm glad Malcolm covered it, because it means we can look at some of the verses, some of the chapters. And I'm basically going to read quite a few now. Fairly famous, but hopefully very pointed. Looking at the kingdom and our place in the kingdom. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearfully hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God he will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast to go upon it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So in that one, the things that spring to mind in some ways are health and strength. Strengthen the weaker hands, make firm the feeble knees. Now I know that applies to me in some way, because I've actually got quite a weak knee. So I can look forward to that being firmed up, being strengthened. And the other thing that really strikes me is in verse 5, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I find that one very important. As you probably know, my sister Sandra is deaf. The lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb sing. So again, we look forward to a restoration of our health. For I know we all have problems, we all have health issues, and it doesn't improve with age, it gets worse. But we can look forward to these verses. Jump into the New Testament now, in Corinthians. Again, if you started at verse 35, it would be quite a long one, but it's talking about what would the body be like after resurrection. The different kinds of flesh, the things that are changed, but I'm going to just jump in a bit later on and start at verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There's another thing that we can link to the kingdom, and that is of peace under Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm just going to jump into the book of Ezekiel for this one. Just a few verses from chapter 37. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and he shall walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they that dwell in the land that I will give Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they will dwell there, they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I make a covenant of peace with them, that it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle shall also be with them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And the nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. So we move forward to that covenant of peace. If we go back a chapter, it tells us a little bit more about what the kingdom is like, that it's going to be like Eden, restored again upon this earth. Micah chapter 4. Now it shall come to the pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So again, a time of peace, a time of prosperity. But also we've come here to enjoy fellowship. But the fellowship can continue even more. In John's letter, we have these words. Grace, wrong one. Let's go to 1 John 1, not 1 John 2. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. The message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Another reason we might have come here is to worship. And it's kind of one of the things that strikes me is, are we worshipping God in the way that he wants us to worship him? Or is there a better way? Is there another way to worship our Heavenly Father? And this is something, again, that the kingdom will expand upon our understanding of how to worship God. And in Revelation 15, it's not only us who will worship God, but all nations shall go to worship God, and to actually be taught how to worship God more effectively, more pleasingly than we are now, is, I think, another very important aspect of the kingdom. But there's a few other chapters I want to read before we start to look again at our Lord's sacrifice. Another famous one, Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and young lion and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young one shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentile shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And staying in Isaiah chapter 65, just the last few verses. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. But they shall build houses and inhabit them, they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labour in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call I will answer, and while they are still speaking I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all in my holy mountain, says the Lord. So just from reading those chapters, those verses, we can get a picture of what it will be like for those who God has chosen. We have health, we have peace, prosperity, we have fellowship, we have love. And all because of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But there's another reason for coming here today. And that is to meet with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is here with us at this moment and in this room. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 18. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We've come now to remember Jesus that he is with us in everything, and especially with us now. We've come to remember his life, his sacrifice. We've come to remember his death. We've come to remember those who aren't with us now. Those who have fallen asleep. Those who we miss. And yet, we can look forward to the day when we will be reunited with them. Then, when our bodies will be made incorruptible, when our health will be restored, and when we will be there with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, that by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. So there's many reasons why we might have come here this morning, and that's just a few of them. But there's things that we can do. There's things that we can do to please God, to live in fellowship one with another. But we've come now to remember Jesus, who is with us in our midst. We've come to remember his sacrifice that has made all of this possible. Because without that sacrifice, we would not be able to have our sins washed away. We would not be able to approach unto this table. We would not be able to approach unto our God through our mediator, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So we've come now to remember Christ as he commanded us, but as hopefully as we want to do, that we want to be here to remember our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.